don't remember the songwriter, but in his song he had, "The times they are a-changing." And they certainly are. Just driving down the streets of Joplin, you can see all kinds of religious buildings. Religions that I hadn't even hardly heard of when I was growing up. It's a very different world. A very, very different world. When I was growing up, almost everybody I knew who Jesus was. Knew he was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. But that's not true anymore. You know, most all the world's religions have an opinion about who Jesus is. Here's a few of them from God Among the Sages. Hinduism says he's a divine avatar of their god Vishnu. Islam, that he's a prophet of Allah. Judaism, that he's a rabbi or at worst, a blasphemer. Jehovah's Witnesses, that he's a spirit creature who became a perfect man. Mormonism, that he's the first of God's spirit children to become a god. Liberal Protestantism, that he was a social reformer. And of course the list can go on and on and on of all the different religions and who they believe Jesus is. You know, there's a number of places in the Bible where Jesus asked people, "Who am I?" or "Who do you say I am?" In Matthew, of course, is one of the most familiar ones, and that's in Matthew 16 when he's talking to his close disciples. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Had a lot of opinions about who Jesus was. He said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. All coming from the same idea, the same word. And while these things are important to know, most importantly is how did Jesus view himself? How did Jesus view himself? The only way to know that is to look at what Scripture has recorded Jesus said about himself. The first thing we see from Scripture is that Jesus claimed to be equal with God. In John chapter 14, and we're going to stay there for a few minutes, in a number of verses in that chapter, Jesus refers to himself in a number of ways. First thing we see Jesus saying is that to know him is to know God. John chapter 14, verse 7, he says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him." Verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Jesus is already saying two things here about himself. If you want to know God, all you have to do is know me. And if you want to see God, all you have to do is see me. Why? Because I am God. And the people that heard these statements knew what he was saying, at least many of them. Verse 11 in John 14, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me." Jesus is saying, God and I are one. Jehovah and I are one. The Father and I are one. If you want to know me, know the Father. If you want to see the Father, see me. The Father and I are one. I am in the Father. The Father is in me. He will on another occasion say, welcoming me means welcoming the Father. In other words, when you receive me, when you welcome me, you are welcoming or receiving the Father. In the very next chapter of John, he says in verse 23, "He who hates me hates my Father also." So So hating Jesus is the same as hating God. Coming to Jesus is coming to God. He says it is the same thing. John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says there's an exclusive. That's what the word means. It's exclusive. That's what the word except means. He says there's an exclusive way to the Father. And that exclusive, one and only, unique way is through Jesus. So Jesus, over and over and over again, claims to be equal with God. Claims to be equal with God. I and the Father are one. See me, you're seeing the Father. Receive me, you're receiving the Father. Over and over again, Jesus tells believers and unbelievers that He and God are one. And of course, with some people, He got some violent reactions to those statements. They didn't like to hear it. These verses right here tell us that Jesus claimed a person's relationship with Jehovah depended on one thing, and that was their relationship with Him. No one could say they had a relationship with God, the Father, unless they had a relationship with Him. And again, that got some violent reactions from people. They did not want to hear it. There are so many places in the Bible that shows parallels between Jesus and God that shows their equality. One of the most well-known, Psalm 23. We know that's the psalm about the shepherd. And that God is the shepherd. He leads us, guides us. But what did Jesus say about Himself in John chapter 10, verse 11? I am the good shepherd. Jehovah, the good shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd. The Creator. In Isaiah chapter 40, we see that God is called the Creator. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, He says, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth? Neither faints nor is weary, His understanding is unsearchable. Who's the Creator of all the earth? The everlasting God, the Lord. Well, what does John chapter 1 say about Jesus? It says this right here. John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And of course the context is talking about Jesus. That He was in the beginning with God, and He was God. Isaiah says by inspiration, the everlasting God is the Creator. John by inspiration says Jesus is the Creator. Therefore what? Jesus is God. The parallel. But probably one of the most telling ones comes from an Old Testament prophecy in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel sees a vision. And in verse 13, he says this about the vision. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him. Then to Him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. One like the Son of Man. Of course, this is referring to when Jesus came to the Father and was given all authority. Everlasting dominion. Now notice what Matthew chapter 28 says about Jesus. Matthew chapter 28, the last few verses, beginning in verse 18. Matthew records this about Jesus. These are Jesus' words. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. What did Daniel say was going to happen? Daniel saw these visions, one like the Son of Man, going to the Father and receiving what? All dominion, all authority. And then Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me. See, Jesus over and over and over again claims equality with God. There is no way to read either the Old or New Testament and come up with any sort of idea that Jesus did not view himself as God. He did view himself as God over and over again. The second thing that we see is that Jesus claimed divine titles for himself. On many occasions, he called himself by a godly title, by a divine title. In John chapter 5, we see Jesus giving himself this title. John chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." My Father. Now Jesus is saying that the Heavenly Father is His Father. So He's claiming to be the Son of God. Notice the reaction, next verse. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill Him. See, the Jews knew exactly what He was claiming. Because He not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. See, the Jews understood when Jesus made these claims what He was claiming. Jesus was claiming to be God, divine, part of the Godhead. He also claimed the title, I Am. If you remember the great scene of Moses before Jehovah in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, Moses wanted to know, what should I call you? And what should I tell the people to call you? And what was God's response? Tell them the I Am has sent you. So God said, that was my name, I Am. Now notice what Jesus says in John chapter 8 about himself. John chapter 8, verse 56. He says, he's talking to Jews, Jesus is, and he says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." The exact phrase. Did the Jews know what he meant? Notice what happens. Then they took up stones to throw at him. They knew exactly what Jesus was claiming. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. They knew that was a divine title. He claimed to be the I Am, another divine title. In John chapter 10, beginning in verse 30, notice what Jesus says about himself, claiming a divine title. John chapter 10, verse 30, going through verse 33, he says, "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, and Jesus answered them, "Many good works I've shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourself God." See, they knew Jesus was saying he was God. He was divine, and of course they didn't like it. He was saying that him and the Father were one in purpose, one in action, one in essence, one in nature. And he goes as far as to call himself the Messiah. That long-awaited deliverer that the Jews had been looking for centuries. Jesus said, "I am the one." The word Christ and the anointed one and Messiah all meaning the same thing. In Mark chapter 14, we have these words recorded by Mark about what Jesus said. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 61. Mark chapter 14, verse 61. But he kept silent and answered nothing, talking about Jesus before the high priest. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Again, that's saying, "Are you the Messiah, the Anointed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." High priest said, "Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus said, "I am." Jesus wasn't just some sort of social reformer or a great teacher or a prophet. He was the Messiah. And over again, he made that claim. "I am the Son of God. I am God." Remember when he's talking with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, John chapter 4? You know, she says, "Well, we've been waiting for the Messiah to come." And Jesus said, "I am He. I am He." So Jesus claimed these divine titles, titles exclusively to be used for God and God alone. And the third thing that Jesus did was he claimed to have divine powers. He claimed to have the powers that God have. First and foremost was the power to forgive sins. In Mark chapter 2, I know you'll recognize this account, but here he claims to have the power to forgive sins. Mark chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 5. This was the paralytic. "When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.' And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk"? But you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins.' He said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.'" Jesus claimed to have the power to forgive sins. And especially the Jewish people knew that was an exclusive power left to God alone. But Jesus said, "I can forgive sins." And on other occasions, he did the same thing. He said he could. Jesus was also worshipped, something that was exclusively to be done to God alone. In Matthew chapter 14, we see one of the occasions when Jesus was worshipped. Matthew chapter 14, verse 33. This is when the disciples were in the boat and Jesus calms the waters. "Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" They worshipped him. But worship was an exclusive right to God and God alone. Who do they realize Jesus is? The Son of God. They realize that he is divine. So they worshipped him, as did others as well. And then lastly, Jesus had the right to judge mankind. The only one having that right was God. Back in Genesis 18, the question is asked, "Will not the God of all the earth do what's right? The one who judges all the earth, will he not do what's right?" God is the judge, but yet, notice John chapter 5. Verse 22 of that chapter, Jesus says this. John chapter 5, verse 22. He says, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." To the Son. It's not the only place. Remember Paul's sermon in Acts chapter 17 on Mars Hill? He ends that by saying that God has appointed this man, whom he has resurrected, to judge. So Jesus claims this divine right. He claimed to be equal with God. He claimed all of these divine titles, and he claimed to have divine powers. That's how Jesus viewed himself. There's no way one can read about his life and come to any conclusion other than Jesus claiming to be God. I've read so many people that said, you know, when you read about what Jesus said, he never really claimed to be God. Oh my, they must be reading an entirely different Bible than I do. Over and over and over again. And we just touch the surface of the places where Jesus claimed divinity. The Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, the Son of God, the Judge. And he certainly is. And because of that, we should believe and obey him. Because he is going to judge all the earth one day. All of the earth. He's going to be the one, the Bible says, that's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Sheep on the right, the goats on the left. Remember what Matthew said. I believe it's Matthew 25. He's going to sit on the throne, going to sit on the judgment seat, and judge everyone based upon what they have done in their lives. That is the truth. He's not a divine avatar. He's not a social reformer. He's not a spirit child. He's none of those things. He's the true Son of God. The one that we owe all of our allegiance to. And if you've not made that commitment, if you have not obeyed him by obeying the gospel, then I would urge you to do that this morning as we stand and sing this invitation song. Let's stand, please.